Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
How was Thanksgiving?
Keep singing. Don't act like you weren't singing.
Nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, maybe not.
I had a good time, though. So Thanksgiving was nice. And my dad's birthday was the other day, and I had a bunch of family in town. And we were, like, cutting up. Like, my dad actually cut a rug with us. Like, I've never seen
pops.
That before. Literally, I've never seen my dad dance even one time.
Aww,
and we danced.
Sweet.
We danced for his birthday.
Yeah,
this year,
he danced for his birthday. Did mom get in on the dancing?
So my mom dances all the time. So that was not.
Oh, wow.
But her feet were hurting, so she was sparingly on the dance floor.
It's good to have a good time.
And then my Thanksgiving celebration, we ended up doing karaoke, cousin karaoke.
What?
Yeah, that was fun. We started out.
Is there a real karaoke machine or is just.
Ironically, we actually legitimately had a real karaoke machine. Not with the screen, but just the, you know, the speaker with the mics, with the two mics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah,
I would do that.
We started out with gospel songs,
mm-hmm.
like with, you know, siblings, like young.
Who took it left?
And then it got ratchet. Like, and then.
That was your fault, wasn't it?
Nah, someone else did it. Someone else transitioned. There's always somebody in karaoke that picks like a horrible song. Like one of my cousin's spouses picked a horrible song.
Word.
Which then meant, well, now we got to do a good song that everybody knows. And then now we're singing Keisha Cole.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that one.
Yeah.
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 I don't even know the title, but I know the song.
Yeah.
I'm not singing it, so you can move past
the Just say the words so people know what you're talking about.
No, you can't just say it. You must.
I used to think that I wasn't fine enough.
You have to sing it. You can't just say it.
I can't believe you burning me. I met your girl. What a different. Never mind. What you see? All right. So did you have a good experience this Thanksgiving?
I did. There was a lot going on, but I will say I hosted.
It's called Love. I had to finish getting
I didn't
there.
Know if that was actually
that's
the title,
called. It's
though. I know that's the main word in the chorus.
It's
but,
love.
Yeah.
But it's really
Thanksgiving.
Like, love. No, okay, go ahead. Thanksgiving. How's Thanksgiving for you and the fam? The Gray clan.
Oh, gosh. We hosted.
Okay.
And
who is...
Who is we?
We... I know that's you and your spouse. I guess I should say, who are the folks that came? Which sides of the family? Because you have like legit like four branches to your family.
I have a lot of family. So this was truly, I also have a blended family,
mm-hmm.
which involves who I will call my bonus siblings.
Okay.
And then as a product of a blended family,
mm-hmm.
there were family members. I don't even know how to describe this. There are family members from my father's family.
Okay.
And who my mom is not married to anymore.
Okay.
So.
But that's love.
That's love.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
love. So I had my blood family. I had mm-hmm. my family that I acquired through a marriage.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a lot of people.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So how many folks were in the crib?
20.
Okay, that's good. For all the branches, like, that's good that
yeah.
it wasn't
Yeah, like, everybody,
a crazy
even
number.
In my immediate family with, like, my siblings, they couldn't all come. But, because, you know, they have their own families that they married into. And, you know, my brother was hosting for his wife's family. And
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
So it's all good.
So we had...
But I was tired.
We kind of, like, did separate types of celebrations. So my mom's side was all from all over. Like my mom has family in Texas and London and South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Georgia. So we had a bunch of folks all converge on my parents' house for Thanksgiving day. And on Friday, we did my dad's side, the boomers. And we all got together in Maryland.
So. Got it.
So we had probably like 40 people at both. Like typically Thanksgiving is like 80 to 100. So we kind of like split it. Yeah, we usually do big things.
I will tell you this though.
Yes.
That my turkey that I brined, amazing.
Really?
I hardly even got it.
What was in the brine?
Let's see.
Is it like just sugar and salt type
no,
of brine?
No.
Okay,
excuse
me.
Like
no disrespect.
Orange peels, garlic, rosemary, peppercorns,
come on,
apple cider vinegar, brown sugar, salt. Okay.
Now I'm mad you didn't save any. Like I didn't get any of this turkey.
So I prepare for this by purchasing pre-cooked smoked sliced turkey breasts.
Okay.
Then the roasted turkey that I prepared, that's what goes in the brine. So the pre-cooked, pre-sliced turkey breast is on the same platter with ham.
Okay.
And I think some people thought it might have been ham.
Okay.
Just like lighter pink ham.
Yeah. Okay.
But when I took my turkey that I brined out of the oven,
Jesus.
And I'm a traditionalist, so yes. I want either the picture of the bird on the plate or at least nicely carved so that it, you know.
Legs intact.
Like that.
Okay.
Couldn't do it because the meat
was
literally
tender.
Fell off
it
the
was
bone.
Just fall. I'm getting mad.
So
let's change the subject. I didn't
even plate all of that. So people were literally going to the pan, the roasting pan on the stove and like just pulling pieces
just
of meat.
Just pulling it.
It was just ridiculous.
Just pulling
so
meat.
So now
just,
I need to do this again.
Yes.
It was good. It was,
yes, please
I was
do.
Really proud of that.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, I was proud of that.
Yo,
anyway,
I ain't gonna
I'm a
lie.
Foodie, so.
Like my mom's, you know, she took my mom is like the shortcut mom in terms of cooking. Like she can cook, but certain things, if there's a shortcut, my mom is gonna take it. Like,
okay.
So my mom actually got, like, this is crazy that I'm gonna admit this, but one of the dishes was a turkey from Popeye's.
Oh, that's not about
that
a shortcut. Nobody's
being,
frying a turkey.
Yo, it wasn't fried. It
wasn't
like,
fried?
It was like heat and eat type of turkey. This thing was good.
Listen, you have to decide where you're going to spend your energy.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, if I was providing 100% of the food, I'm getting something already done.
Good.
You either got to go for the meat. Or you got to go for the sides.
Okay.
You got to get some help somewhere. Otherwise, you'll literally be cooking for 3 days.
That's it.
If you're not doing any shortcuts. So
anyway. We're going to get into our topic. But I do have two quick diversions that are important. The first is, would you believe, Andrea, my dog has made a 99% recovery. The last show we were talking about, we may have to put him down.
Right.
My dog has snapped back. He is Gucci.
Because he ate Thanksgiving food.
Listen, I don't know what it was. He is better. Like, his medicine is working. He has been, like, acting strange and doing things differently, including drinking rainwater, literally. Some switch has been flipped in his little body, and he is back to himself.
Wow.
Like, he's, like, physically was always in decent shape. It's just that he was, like, acting crazy.
Yeah.
And then physically, when the seizures started to really take hold, like, he started to then physically act poorly. And now the guy is back, which is a testimony to how good God is, man. I'm so happy. Like, my dog is going to be here for a minute. I don't want to claim victory too soon, but man.
I'm not going to fun sponge you right now.
My dog barked at a doorbell for the first time in a month.
Oh,
today.
Wow.
And that was the final thing that said, the guy's back.
Oh, Cookie.
Yes. Second thing, when we did our show last week, and we gotten a lot of good feedback about it, the show about Christmas, stocks for Christmas, we forgot about an app that we've got to talk about, an app called Goal Setter. Goal Setter was actually started by a Black woman. And it's similar to a lot of the other apps we talked about. It is an app that you can invest in. It also has an educational component. It has a debit card. It has just a range of financial education tips for kids. And it's Black owned.
Which one of our listeners told you about it?
So my homegirl that lives in Buffalo,
yeah.
I went to Morgan with.
Yep.
She's an avid listener. Big shout to her and
Great.
Her son.
No, we appreciate it.
Yeah, she was like, yo.
You didn't mention this one.
She actually didn't. She just made her own post in her own regular life and said, hey, this is what my son and I are using right now to talk about stocks. And I was
like,
oh, you should check out the podcast. She's like, I already did. And yes, this is a great app.
It's all good.
Yeah. So goalsetter.co is where you can find it on the web. And then you can go into your app store and search for Goal Setter. Great app.
Love it.
So now we'll get into our content.
What are we talking
about? Only
about
4.5 minutes late. I always try to stop the small talk at 5 minutes. You never knew that. I always do.
I knew there was some method, but I never knew what it was. And I knew we went over today.
So we're going to talk about this possible inflation situation.
Mm.
And I say possible because
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Like we know that we have experienced inflation historically in the last 3 years. And it's been enough to not just kick our butts, but to also get us a new president, a new recycled president, I should say. And at the same time, like when you look at what the economists are saying, and it's pretty unanimous, like most economists feel like this incoming administration that comes starting January 20th, many of the policies that are being proposed could actually restart inflation.
I heard that conversation before the election.
Word.
And so we still hear.
Yeah, I'm saying like inflation got us a new president, and now we're hearing that the policies of the new recycled men, like that it may be a new wave of inflation. And so the show today is really just to talk about it in advance. Like it's not here yet,
mm-hmm.
right? And in a lot of ways, the last time we had inflation, it caught us off guard. I don't know about you. I definitely felt like this last wave of inflation caught me off guard.
Sure. I mean, nothing about, let me say it differently. Everything about the pandemic mm-hmm. was unprecedented because we had never, in our lifetimes, had never experienced anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was logical that you had increased prices and inflation just because of supply chain issues.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the laws of supply and demand were, we were living through that with a lot of unpredictability and uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that happened after that just kind of had to catch up. So it wasn't, I think the length of the time that it took to recover from that might have surprised me a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, I felt like if I could do it all again. Like the issue was I was listening to the Federal Reserve chairman who it caught him off guard.
Yeah.
Because when we started getting those increasing numbers, he's like, oh, this is just a blip. It's just a nothing. It's not, we ain't worried about it. Yep. We're not tripping.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got worse and he was behind the eight ball with alerting the nation that this inflation thing is an issue. And behind the eight ball and raising interest rates to try to fight it. And so I just don't want our listeners to be behind the eight ball again. Like we might get some more inflation. And so what are some strategies we can talk about today to just start to put ourselves in the right position? Because I don't want to have it kick my butt again.
Right.
So let's get into some stats. So first, we talked about this in a recent show. 62% of Americans feel like inflation is our nation's number one problem. It certainly was the biggest issue for voters in the election booth.
I hear you, but I will have to point this out.
Please
so
do.
I saw people posting, sharing, opining on all the numbers coming out of the sales numbers coming out of Black Friday.
Yeah.
Small Business Saturday.
Lord.
Self-Care Sunday.
I know where this is
Cyber
going.
Monday.
Yep.
And it's like, record retail sales.
Come on.
And it's like, y'all the same ones out here talking about.
We can't afford bacon.
Right. Like you've seen it. You've heard it. It is interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Because we don't have a new president yet. And now all of a sudden everybody's got a chicken in every pot. Like this is one of those optics things. I mean, we said this. Like we said, like our economy is actually doing great. Except for this one area, which is inflation, which is because of the pandemic for real.
And it had come down significantly. So it's just interesting.
I agree.
That's all.
100%.
Limited retail spending on my part.
And to that point, inflation right now is really under control. The current read on inflation, 2.6%. The month before that, 2.44%. A year ago, 3.25%. Like, this thing is really under control right now. The target that the Fed uses for inflation really is like 2%. So if you're in that range of 2 to 2.5%, you're basically where the Federal Reserve wants us to be on inflation.
Yep.
But, and this is the controversial aspect of inflation. And this was ironic. I had a huge argument with my brother about this.
You said huge argument. I knew the next words were going to be with my brother.
Who I love
And
dearly.
I know which brother.
Yeah. And yes. I have two. So then I could kind of like hide.
But no, but I know obscurity. Which one. I know which one. But anyway.
Yeah, I had a huge argument. And one of my brothers feels like, you know, he knows best because he's of the birth order. I'll just put it like that. Okay. And I made a statement that he didn't believe. I'm like, I don't know if this brother realized, like, I do this for a living.
Kind
like,
of an expert here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I wasn't born first, so whatever. I love you, bro.
Does he listen?
You
don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay.
He listens, but he tells you that he doesn't.
Could be. Well, I love that both tracks. My brothers. I love them both. But inflation is cumulative. Like, that means that I am currently paying not the 2.6 that we're bragging about. I'm paying the 2.6 plus the 3.4 plus the 6 plus the 8. Because prices typically are going one direction for most things that we're spending money on.
Sure, yeah.
Many things. I'll say many things.
So there's cumulative and mm-hmm. there's compounded. It feels like
word
compounding in a mm-hmm. way. But anyway.
No, that's a fact. Like certain things just get more expensive every time.
Yes.
Not everything. And this is the argument because he's like, well, what about this? What about that? And he was right. Like gas, for example, really gas is based on the supply and demand in the oil market plus taxes in your local jurisdiction plus, you know, the supply of oil that, you know, the UAE and everybody else is, that's producing oil. Like that has a big impact on where gas prices at the pump land.
It is a head scratcher to me, though, maybe just because I don't understand the oil industry. But I'm like, is there or is there not an endless supply of oil? Are we going to run out of oil one day?
It's not endless. I
mean, right. Yeah. So how does the supply and demand work?
It's because of what we pull out of the ground. So OPEC sets a target for how much oil is going to be produced by their unit, their group.
Mm-hmm.
And they change it. Like they're like, let's say they're doing one
right
unit this month. Next month, they're like, no, let's do 0.9. Right. And that little bit of, you know, decrease then pushes prices higher. And if you are one of these oil rich nations, that is the wealth of your whole nation, the wealth of your economy, the wealth of your people. It's from oil. And so you have every incentive to try to limit supply as much as you possibly can.
Sure.
And then you've got, you know, the fact that, you know,
but even is it though, real supply and demand or is it?
It's manufactured. It's manufactured supply. That's for sure.
That's kind of my.
Because in the point. Next thing you have is the cross-border issues, right? You've got, you know, there's oil doesn't just live in the Middle East. There's plenty of oil here in the U.S.
Right.
In Canada. And now we're talking about the technology like fracking, like and how we can, you know, extract that oil. Sometimes, you know, it becomes political, you know. Do I want to allow drilling in this particular community,
right.
for example? So yeah, there's a lot of things that impact. I got you. But the point is, for a lot of things that we spend money on, even though inflation today is under control, we are paying that cumulative impact, or to your point, that compounded impact of inflation. And I'll give you some examples. So for example, housing.
Yeah.
Since 1999.
Steadily increasing.
Yeah, housing is up 166%.
I mean, even when prices fall, they don't go back to prices 10 years ago.
Yeah, nah, absolutely not. College.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
Don't we know it?
The cumulative cost of college since 1998, 175%.
That's insane when you really think about it.
Yeah. And
not just because that's where we are right now.
And what's crazy, if you just strip out private versus public, public actually had the most inflation, 187%.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because private college has been expensive. So they've been expensive, so they're still expensive.
Yeah. Now, here's some areas where you don't get inflation, like technology actually causes things to get cheaper over time. And said differently, for the same price, I could probably get something better.
Sure.
Faster.
I think when it comes to certain things like TVs,
right,
we're consuming our media in so many different ways now that...
Yeah, TV has had negative inflation since 1999 of negative 14.5% per year.
Yeah, it's still supply and demand.
Like in the 90s, like a 20-inch TV was like legit.
It's a piece of furniture.
Now, come in here with a 20-inch TV. See if you don't get laughed out.
Seriously.
Of the apartment.
Are these monitors, our computer monitors, they're bigger than 20 inches.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially as we have certain team members whose eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So on that note, we should probably go to break.
We should go to break.
We're talking about the inflation situation. We'll talk a little bit more about this cumulative impact of inflation. Then we'll get into some strategies on what you can do now to make sure you're in a better spot to not get caught with your pants down the second time around.
Is the 12-year-old boy back?
I'm trying to, what's another way? Not to get caught. I was going to say red-handed.
Like, off guard?
Okay. Not to be caught off guard this time around. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And keep your pants up. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
So we're back. So other things in terms of this cumulative impact of inflation, this is really for my brother. Like, I want to give some of these numbers really quickly. So these are numbers since 1997, the cumulative price increase of certain things. So for example, medical care is up 150% since the 90s. You know that. Doctors.
Yeah.
Health insurance. That's all baked into that.
All costs more.
Alcohol. So the cost of a cold brew, tequila, etc., 90% higher.
You know that.
Listen, I kind of do.
I don't really.
Baby food up.
I definitely don't know that.
Baby food's doubled in the last, what would that be, almost 30 years? Fresh fruit up 75%.
Wow. Here we go with the eggs.
Eggs? Eggs are up. What is that like? 150%?
If you can't see it, you know I can't see it.
Eggs are 150% more. Like, the thing is, like, in reality, like, yeah, prices will kind of wiggle higher, wiggle lower, but on average, the trend is higher for these things.
For everything. Yep.
And even if our new administration comes in and magically, like, brings inflation down, which no one is expecting, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden a slice of pizza is a dollar again.
Right.
And, like, that's the point.
Prices are not going to return to where they were pre-higher inflation.
Yes. And I got charts to share with my brother. I should probably send him this.
You should.
Yeah.
Will he read it? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we like to be a dissenter just because.
I'm not going to do it. I just, certain things like, yo, do I want to fight or do I want to have a good relationship with my brother? Like,
right.
I picked the second one.
Do both.
I'll just talk smack on the podcast.
There you go.
That hundreds of thousands of people will hear, but perhaps they'll never hear about. So let's talk about why the economists think that Trump, part two, the recycled Trump, we brought the thing to the curb and then it got brought back in. Why do we think that inflation could possibly go higher?
Because he keeps talking about tariffs.
That's a big one. He's talking about 60% tariffs on China, which in return, China is now saying, well, look, well, we're going to put some tariffs out there on y'all.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Tariff war, trade war.
And who's paying for that? The consumer.
Yo, but we are paying for it.
We are paying for it.
Absolutely. He's talking about Canada and Mexico. Potentially tariffs up to 20% on our border countries.
We know why he picks on Mexico. Why is he picking on Canada?
Justin Trudeau's like, what do we do? So the crazy thing is that we used to have this thing called NAFTA. And NAFTA created a free trade zone between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada because, hey, we're all sharing the same piece of land.
Yep.
And Trump came in and changed that. And instead, we walked away with the U.S., MCA, which was the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which also kind of like kept some real friendly trade terms with our bordering countries.
Sure.
And that agreement is set to expire in like years to come. I think it's like 6 or 7 years from now. But like he's now threatening to start tariffing them. Because what's interesting is once we started putting tariffs on China,
we just made tariff a verb.
Yeah, tariffing. Once we started tariffing them.
I love it.
Like a lot of things we started buying from Mexico. Sure. Now we're mad at them, you know, because he's basically saying, well, look, y'all letting all these people try to sneak in our country. This is Trump, not me.
This is right. Be clear.
Now we're going to hit y'all.
Let's be clear.
Yeah. The thing about like tariffs is like two things. Yes, it ends up being that it makes prices higher, but also like other countries step in to supply us with the stuff. Yeah. We don't produce all this stuff. Mm. And so tariffs are going to be bad for inflation. Like, for example, apparel. Would you believe that 98% of our clothing is imported? Or at least some component of our clothing? Even if it says made in America, did the textile actually get created in America?
Right. The percentage sounds high when you just think about it. But just because I read labels so much, because I try to hold on to my clothes and I look at the labels when I'm looking for the washing instructions, the laundry instructions. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Rarely do I see made in Kentucky. You know?
Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah. Indonesia, Vietnam.
Word.
China.
That's where your clothes come from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then within clothes, there's also what's called shrinkflation, which is like the same price, but a cheaper garment.
Yeah.
With less features. And maybe at a higher price. Like that happens a lot in the dollar stores. Have you noticed how the dollar store is really like jipping us from stuff? Like they're just making the packages a little bit smaller, like taking 7 potato chips out the bag, like a little less toothpaste in the tube. like, this is happening.
I can't say I've noticed that at the dollar store, except that the dollar store is now like the $1.25 store.
It is.
Or the $2 store.
They just took the price off now. It's not even a...
Right.
Yeah. And they're like starting at $1.50. But grocery store, you haven't noticed that the cereal ain't filled up to the top?
Most definitely.
Anymore? That's shrinkflation. Other aspects... Like when there are tariffs, there's this expectation that we will then start to produce the things in our country and that those things would be at a lower price because we didn't have to have the tariffs. But what happens in reality, and this is from a study, there's a 2019 study of washing machines. We started putting tariffs on imported washing machines and then U.S. producers started to raise their prices because everybody else's prices were high. Like companies have a profit motive.
And for sure.
If they could sell you the same number of units for $300 as for $250, which one do you think they're going to pick?
Right.
Like tariffs are flat out inflationary and it is you and I who ends up paying for it. So that's, let's just call that strike one.
Yep.
If it happens.
Yeah.
Because right now we're hearing threats, right? Like Trump has not been inaugurated yet. But he's laying it all out, like what I'm planning to do. Like he's using his bully pulpit to talk up these things and we're just reacting to it.
Yeah.
If these things come true. Because there's also what actually happens. And I don't know if all this stuff happens, frankly. But this is what he's saying.
We done messed around and we're about to find out.
Next, deportations. We're talking about deporting a lot of people. That could lead to labor shortages.
Absolutely. You're hearing from farm communities who are, many of which are filled with Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, wait, but
yeah,
if we do this, we might experience.
Who's going to pick these tomatoes or drive this tractor in 120 degree weather? Yeah. Like, for real.
Yeah.
So there's deportation. I mean, that's obvious. If there's less workers, that means that companies have to pay more, which means that that's inflationary because they're going to turn around and raise prices on what they charge you with the consumer.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's the taxes. Like Trump's talking about more tax cuts. Well, tax cuts create more consumption. More consumption increases the demand side of the supply-demand equation, and that creates more inflation. Even Elon Musk said, look, we might create a temporary hardship for people as we work through all these different things. Right? Like we're talking about laying off some government workers. Like there's a lot of things that could spark some inflation. And so let's get into some strategies. We've beat that horse. I think the horse is dead. It's laying there. It's panting.
It's the irony, though, of Elon Musk warning about temporary hardship
for
ordinary Americans, of which he is not.
Yeah, big time.
I'm just saying.
Far from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, strategies.
Even Americans, like, never mind. Let me stop.
Is he American?
Man,
yeah.
Stop.
I mean,
he's South African,
right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is he a U.S. citizen?
I'm just saying, like,
do you have to be a U.S. citizen to be in?
No, you don't.
In like, charge of a government agency that doesn't exist.
So, no, absolutely not. Like, you have to be a U.S. born person to be president.
Correct.
And I just recall, like, Obama for half his life as an adult fighting to prove that he was an American.
Yes.
All right. So strategies.
Strategies. That's what we're here to talk
for
about.
For us Americans.
For us Americans.
Okay. So like, what are some things you can do? So the first thing, which is very counter to a lot of the advice that we give, because we're always talking about, you know, spend the money in your account. If you don't have it, don't buy it. But borrowing money is a really smart thing to do if you expect there to be inflation. I'll say borrowing money responsibly.
I was going to say, like,
responsibly.
I know what you mean, but we got to clear that up for the people who don't know what we mean.
Yeah.
Some people hate debt. So they're like, why would I do that?
Let's just think about it for a second. Inflation causes the money in my pocket to be worth less. So if I borrow a bunch of money now and then pay it back in the future with money that is worth way less in the future, I kind of won the game.
Okay. I follow.
Right? Especially if I have a fixed interest rate. Like imagine buying, you know, a house with a 30-year mortgage. Like I'm paying back this money with deflated dollars over the next 30 years while everything else around me is getting more expensive.
Yeah. Right? So when I sell it.
Yeah.
Presumably.
And when I sell it, I get real inflation adjusted dollars.
Right. Yeah.
So borrowing money is kind of the move if I'm worried about inflation. But again, responsibly. I'm not saying go out there and take out a second and third mortgage. I'm not saying go get a payday loan. I'm not saying let's do buy now, pay later for your Christmas presents or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just saying, like, yo, buying a car, if I'm worried about inflation, take a look at what the financing might be.
Yeah. Instead of using your cash, you can hold on to your cash to do something else.
Sure.
Maybe.
Invest some of that
invest
cash.
Invest it. Yeah. Which I know is one of the things we're going to talk about, one of the strategies.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe my business is thinking about taking on a loan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do some kind of project. Like, if you've got the credit worthiness, if you've got the business plan to do it, think about it.
Responsibly.
Responsibly.
Real estate.
Absolutely. Great asset to own. I mean, we talked about your personal home and how that benefits from inflation. Because when you buy your personal home, I mean, it's the fact that the property is probably going to increase in value over time. We talked about the fact that inflation has caused real estate to go up by almost 200% since the 90s.
Right.
So that's one way that it's helping you. But the other way it's helping you is that 30-year fixed mortgage, the same exact payment for the next 30 years while everything else is getting more expensive.
Right.
And then the idea that I borrowed money that I'm repaying back with, you know, inflation-adjusted dollars. But investment real estate, like imagine being a landlord. And as a landlord, imagine I'm renting out an apartment building. Every couple of years, I get to raise the rent.
Yeah.
So I buy that building, I get the current income stream, and that income stream is indexed at minimum to inflation. A lot of times landlords want more than inflation as their index. Like all of my commercial leases have escalators that are at least 3% a year. So that means they're doing better than inflation in a lot of cases. Like real estate really is kind of the perfect asset if you're worried about inflation.
So could that backfire, though? I'm only challenging it for challenging sake. So if you're a landlord and you raise the rent, but your tenants are potentially struggling to pay said rent, you might not get what you're looking for. I guess it depends on what kind of property you're renting to and who your,
absolutely. Your renters are. So, I mean, so what happens is you're in a marketplace and what you're renting your place for is subject to what everybody else is renting for.
Sure.
But there's like this unwritten agreement amongst landlords that they're going to keep raising the rent.
Sure.
Now, there are periods of time when the rent goes the opposite way. COVID is one of those examples. But in general, the rent's going one way.
Yeah.
And that's too high. So be a landlord. Because again, inflation, if you are a renter, you're paying that inflation.
Yeah.
Like if you're a renter, this is one of the arguments I've had with clients who thought about downsizing and renting in retirement. I'm like, now you've exposed yourself to all this inflation.
Yeah. And if we're honest, the landlords are in some ways paying for that too, right? Because some of the things that they provide are inflationary as well. So
what do you mean?
So if I'm a landlord and let's say the AC unit, the air conditioning goes in the property.
Okay.
And as the landlord, you got to find a new one, find someone to come fix it. If the service charges are higher, if the product that has to be replaced costs more and you're paying for that as the owner, you're paying for that as the owner.
And you're going to get some get back, though. You're going to mess around and start charging more.
Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we agree real estate's a great one. Let's talk about some investment strategies for a second.
Okay.
And we'll go to break. We'll come back. We'll spend a little bit of time on tips. Tips are treasury inflation protected securities.
See, you could have left the cliffhanger. It could have been tips.
Yeah. We're going to give some tips on tips when we get back.
Tips on tips.
All right. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Momentum. And we're back. So
let's talk about these tips.
Yeah. Why don't you start? Because we did have a team call. I don't know if you bought what I was selling on the team call.
Because I was quiet?
No, like I'm...
I was doing something else.
So listener...
I confess all my sins on the podcast.
Now, we do a team call once a week, actually twice a week.
Yeah.
And for much of the time, we're learning about a topic. And sometimes everyone's like, hey, yeah, that makes sense. I agree. And then sometimes folks are like, let's see.
I was not a skeptic.
Okay.
Honestly, when you first introduced the idea, I didn't know if you meant TIPS as in the acronym for Treasury Inflation Protected Securities.
Okay.
Or if you were talking about the ETF, which is made up of those treasury. I didn't know if you were talking about the fund or the strategy.
Yeah. Both.
So I was let me go look at this fund and see if it is commensurate with the yield on buying the individual fixed income unit.
Yeah. So let's talk about it for a sec.
Yeah.
So
then I realized you were talking about both. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, so we got there anyway.
Yeah. So TIPS are treasury bonds. That means you've loaned your money to the U.S. government. And the government promises to give you two things. One is a guarantee and one is kind of like a floating number. The guarantee is the real yield. The variable component is inflation. So when you buy a regular straight treasury bond, they're promising one thing up front. Like you buy this bond, you get this exact yield and you know exactly what you're getting.
Yes.
When you buy a TIP bond, what you're getting is a bifurcated return. One portion.
There's your word for the week, bifurcated.
One portion comes from the real yield.
Mm-hmm.
And the other portion comes from whatever inflation ends up being, they give you that actual percentage.
Yes.
So for example, if I bought a 5-year treasury bond right now, I would earn a yield of 4.11%. But if I bought the TIP, which is the treasury inflation protected version, I get a real yield of 1.79% plus whatever inflation ends up being over the course of those 5 years, right? So the way to know if that TIP is fairly priced or not is I compare the 4.11% to the 1.79%. And the difference is kind of the break-even number for inflation.
Yes.
And so right now, that break-even number is 2.3%. So that means that if I bought that TIP, and we get 2.3% inflation over these next 5 years, that means I get the exact yield of 4.11% that I would have gotten if I bought the 5-year treasury. I don't know if I explained that right.
I follow.
So that, but it also means that if inflation comes in higher than 2.3%.
You winning.
Then I'm doing better. Let's say we get 4%. Now I got my 1.79% plus 4. I got 5.79%.
Yes.
I did significantly better than I would have done if I bought the treasury bond. Because the issue with bonds is that inflation is like kryptonite for bonds. Because with a bond, you're the lender. Like we talked earlier about borrowing is a great thing to do. Well, if you are buying a bond, you are the bank. You are the lender.
You're the lender.
So that means that that borrower is winning at your expense because inflation is causing the money that you will get back in 5 years to be worth a lot less.
That's right. And if I'm really honest here, the other thing I was thinking about when we were talking about this in our team call, and another reason why I was a little quiet, I started thinking about all the TIP positions that I sold because inflation was coming down. So I'm like, I was always a buyer of TIPS, not always, but recently have been a buyer of TIPS. And I started selling off because I'm like, oh, we can just move back to fixed income.
Yeah.
We don't need these TIPS.
Mm.
And so now I'm like, I might be changing course. Did I pull the trigger too soon?
I'm starting to wonder if we should probably always own some TIPS in portfolios.
That was a part of my strategy very early on.
Yeah.
In my advising career.
Listen, doesn't hurt.
Sometimes you just keep doing what you learned in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the odds that the next 5 years are worse than 2.3% when we're already at 2.6? Like, do you expect that things will get better or worse on inflation?
Worse, which means inflation will be higher.
Yeah, which means buy some inflation protection, my G. So TIPS is one way to do it. If you've got a 401k, often there's an inflation protected fund of some sort baked into there. So layer some of that into your 401k. Not 100%, like
not
within 100% your bond allocation.
Within your bond allocation.
That was a question that came up on our call. Someone said, well, how much should I do? Well, first think about what percentage for you is in bonds.
Yeah.
And then take a fraction of that number and put it into TIPS.
What's also interesting, I'm really getting in the weeds here, but because TIPS is an ETF, it trades like a stock. Mm-hmm. So depending on how your reporting goes, it may not show that it's part of the bond allocation.
Mm.
Just saying.
Yeah, you in the weeds now.
I'm in the weeds.
Yeah, so and you bring
as
up
in
another
the
point
details.
Though. Yeah, not smoking weed. Just
not
in
today.
The details.
No, seriously.
Not today.
Not whatever. At all.
You're too churchy for that, whatever.
Correct. Amen.
No, but like there's multiple ways to buy TIPS. One that I described was actually buying the bonds themselves.
Right.
But the thing that Andre is alluding to is that there's also ETFs, exchange-traded funds, like the TIP index fund, which is really a fund that's going out and buying treasury inflation-protected securities. So you buy a basket of them through the fund.
Yeah.
There's mutual funds that do it as well. So consider some of that. Other things to do. Invest in stocks. I mean, stocks are a great inflation hedge.
Absolutely.
Because these very companies that we are describing as profit-seeking ventures that are constantly, during this whole period where we've all been complaining about inflation, what's happening on Wall Street? Companies are reporting
high record earnings.
Yeah, profits.
Just today, profits.
Mm-hmm.
Still making money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a shareholder in those companies, you're winning. Dividend stocks is another one. If I buy a stock that's paying out a percentage of its profits to me every year, there's a lot of stocks that are paying 3%, 4%, 5%.
We are making so much in profits that we are going to reinvest some of it in the company, but we're also going to share some of that with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like winning.
Absolutely. I-bonds is another one. I-bonds are a savings bond that gets issued by the government. The trick with the I-bond, though, is that you're buying kind of like the last 6 months of inflation in your I-bond.
Yeah.
So it might be a little early to be buying I-bonds right now, because if inflation starts to go back up, you really want to buy the I-bond once it gets a little higher.
Listen, when inflation was 7, 8, 9%, I-bonds were all the rage. I think people who bought those are going to be less likely to get excited about buying them today because they remember 7, 8, 9%.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I-bonds, not yet, but.
Not yet.
Put them
but
on
we're,
your.
But we're trying to get ahead of it.
That's it. Put them on your like, do you keep like a grocery list or like a list of things I want to buy in the future? Maybe a shadow.
Or need to buy.
Shadow grocery list.
So I do.
Put the I-bonds on the shadow list for
there
now.
There you go.
Gold's another one. Gold is a store of value that tends to do better in times of high inflation. Gold's been off the hook. Like in the last 3 years, it's done really, really well.
Absolutely.
And since the election, gold's been going crazy because, again, the market is expecting that inflation's coming back.
That's right.
I hate to say it. Like we did a show a couple weeks ago about cryptocurrency. Just saying. Small
what
percentage.
You just saying.
1% maybe, 2%.
Yep.
Not 90%, but maybe a small allocation to an alternate store of value like cryptocurrency. I had a client email me this week like, hey, I've made all this money on my Coinbase account. Should I sell it? I'm like, nah, man, let that thing ride. Like it's small relative to his overall portfolio.
Sure.
And like, yo, I believe that over time, crypto is going to be more and more important. Not
That's
saying
it.
I'm about to mortgage my house to buy some, but hey.
You can also sell some, keep some.
Yeah, a little bit.
When I'm not really sure and there's already been significant appreciation, I kind of split it down the middle. It's like, I'm going to sell some.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep some.
Yeah. I'm having that fight right now with a client. He's got a really, really big position in this single tech stock. Like literally this stock is 79% of his net worth.
I know this.
The stock is hitting an all-time high this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's texting me like, hey, look at this. I'm like,
sell some.
Yeah. Like, if it's that big of a percentage of your net worth, you don't want your whole livelihood tied to one stock.
Absolutely not.
Or cryptocurrency for that matter.
Absolutely not. Sell some. And of the proceeds, buy something else that's cheap and hope that it does the same thing, or spend it. Like, just give it away. All the other things we talked about, the reasons we invest for.
Yeah.
But keep some.
Other things we're doing in our client portfolios, and we own for every client low risk hedge funds. I always got to preface it with low risk. When I say low risk, I mean low volatility, meaning you don't expect a lot of gains, but you also don't expect a lot of losses.
Yeah.
And
they're liquid.
What's great about these funds, they give you returns that are very similar to bonds. Mm-hmm. They don't give you the income of bonds, but they give you some of the safety of bonds in terms of the volatility. Another good idea, talk to your financial advisor about, hey, what can I do to really diversify the risk of my bonds? Like, one of the things that we do is hedge funds, maybe they've got another idea.
Sure.
So we've talked about real estate. We've talked about tips. We've talked about I-bonds.
Those are the investment strategies.
Other things.
Make more money.
That always works. That always
spend
helps.
Spend less money.
That works.
I mean.
That works.
Just the basics, right?
Yeah.
Budget. Decide what you want to spend your money on.
I'd even add an additional point on the spend less.
Okay.
Maybe move to a different part of the country where things are cheaper if you can work from home. Like, I know folks that are in places like New York City still working from home. Like, why aren't you in, you know, Texas?
Sure.
Houston, Charlotte. Like, there's a lot of less expensive places to live if you can work from home.
Makes a lot of sense. When was the last time you went to our New York office?
I've been going more than I would like to. I went like a week ago and the week before that, but I try my best not to go to New York City if I can avoid it.
Yes. The last time I went, it was because we had a client meeting.
Yeah.
I have to change that though. I'm just saying.
Yeah. New Jersey's just better right now. If you live here.
I just think about the fact of spending money to go to work versus not.
Yeah.
That's all. I do it for people and relationships before I would. I'm not going to go to New York and get on a Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean, a teleconference.
Not the only reason why you're there, for sure.
Correct.
Improve your credit score. I mean, that makes things more inexpensive for you, from your auto insurance to your car loan. Like, everything's more expensive if you've got bad credit. So, like, that's one of these things that is anti-inflationary. It's a way to fight.
Absolutely. I like this one. I don't know if you're going to want to keep it, but barter and trade for services. People don't do that as much anymore.
I know. You were just talking earlier about how much, what's the going rate for a babysitter for a kid this age?
Yes.
I'm just saying, maybe instead of talking about a wage, how about I cook dinner for y'all?
Right.
Like, your kid will come over here and watch my kid, and then I'll repay it by buying y'all some, not buying, but cooking dinner.
Listen, I don't know about you, but we did this in college, right?
Yeah.
What did I do though? So I had a hooded dryer and no cosmetology license.
Hooded dryer mean for drying your hair?
For drying your hair.
I'm picturing a dryer with a vent on top.
Oh my gosh. No, dryer. A hooded hair dryer.
Okay.
Sisters who are listening, they know exactly what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
And no cosmetology license to speak of, but I could do touch-ups.
Okay.
Relaxer touch-ups.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Okay.
It was like I had all the tools and everything. And
did
I would
just. Did
you
get paid or did you do it in exchange for stuff?
Sometimes I would get paid. Other times it would be like. Yeah, most of the times I would get paid. But I had other friends who would cook.
Yeah.
Like I cook too, but.
But you're hitting on that other point of make more money. Like, maybe it's by using your skills to bring in some extra income or for the bartering potential.
Absolutely. I mean, I would charge like $10 or $15.
Yeah.
But that was different than the $50 or $60 that someone would have to go pay to a professional hairstylist.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about bartering is like a relaxed edge is a relaxed edge.
Especially when the short pixie thing was in. Like, we weren't even doing full head relaxers. I'm just putting a little bit on the edges.
Yeah.
A halo, as we say now.
Yeah. So if I trade, you know, a haircut or a hairstyle, in exchange, I get a car wash.
Right.
I haven't exchanged
gas
any money. Like,
yeah.
That's a great way to fight inflation. That's a good idea. I like that
one. I'm just saying. I had a conversation with a prospective client recently who owns a business that provides a service that I would love to partake in.
Mm-hmm.
And said business owner was like, I probably don't meet your asset minimum, but I could pay and I need help. Mm. So I'm thinking to myself, can I get what I want and you get what you want?
Here's what we'll
and
do.
We never exchange money.
We'll do complimentary financial planning services for a year in exchange for a bus down every 3 months.
Listen, I'm just
a bus down is a braid style.
Thank you for educating me.
For the listener.
No, I didn't know.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know.
When I said bust down, I didn't know what you were talking about. My daughter rocks the bus down is like the length has to be at least mid back.
So
to butt, like in that range.
So you told me that prior to this conversation right now, but I learned it from you because I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's a conversation I'm willing to have.
Yeah.
So if you're listening.
Listen, I like it. I mean, look, I've done free work before. Sometimes because it just makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. Like right now I took on a client who was a really important administrator at our high school growing up.
Okay.
And I'm like, yo, I'll cover your account for no cost. But I know she's going to go out and tell people. Like,
sure.
You know, Alan looked out for me.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of a barter. I got some advertisement in exchange for, you know. So maybe there's something else you could trade.
You just don't want that expectation to continue.
Yeah, like I don't do this for everybody.
But I hear you. I know what you mean.
So we've talked about a lot of things that you can do to manage inflation if it comes. So we're starting the conversation perhaps in advance because folks are getting ready. They're getting girded for the battle that might be ahead of us. And so we're giving you all the ideas today.
And some of these ideas are just good ideas.
In general.
I had this conversation when for years we kept looking for a recession and I was having so many conversations invited to do talks about how do I protect my portfolio against a recession?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, some of this stuff is just good to do, whether or not it comes. So some of that is the same here.
That's it.
Not all of it, but.
That's it.
Anyway.
Inflation situation.
There's your title.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.